grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a quiz for you. What service in the liturgical calendar do you think is the hardest for a pastor to lead? Janice says Good Friday. Any other guesses? Maybe Maundy Thursday? Actually, it's Ash Wednesday. It's Ash Wednesday. Because on Ash Wednesday, I have to look each of you in the eye and remind you that you are going to die. And that's a really, really hard thing to do, right? We all know that death is just as much a part of life as being born and as living, and that none of us can avoid death or escape death. And we all know that we have the hope of the resurrection and that we do not grieve as those without hope. We know all of these things, but death still hits us hard and it hurts. And so this past week, as I was preparing for Ash Wednesday, I had something a little bit unexpected happen. I was feeling the weight of the grief of the last couple years of our life together. Because if you look at that second page of your annual report, you'll see so many of our beloved church members who have died in the last couple of years. And that's not everyone that we have known and loved who has died. Those are just the members of our church. And I think we're all feeling on some level the weight of that collective grief. But I have noticed, especially in the last few funerals and memorial services that I've done, that the longer I'm here and the more deeply I fall in love with you, my beloved sheep, the more it hurts when one of you dies. And so this past Wednesday, when I had to look so many of you in the eye and remind you that you will die, and wonder if for some of you this might be the last Ash Wednesday that I do that for you, my goodness, it hurt my heart. And so this past Wednesday, the sermon that I preached, I actually preached it for my own heart. Because I needed the hope that we find in the promises of baptism. I needed to be reminded myself that death does not have the last word, that death does not have the victory, and that death is not the end. I preached that sermon to shore myself up so that I could look all of you in the eye, mark a cross of ashes on your forehead, and remind you that from dust you came, and to dust you shall return. And so the sermon I preached on Wednesday, for those of you that weren't here, was about how in the same place where we are marked with a cross of ashes is the exact same place where when you were baptized, the pastor marked a cross with oil and proclaimed over you that you are marked with the cross of Christ forever. Because it hit me as I was also preparing for today's sermon that immediately before Jesus went into the wilderness, he was baptized. And he heard the voice of God proclaim over him, "You are my son. In you I am well pleased." I remembered that the same place we get the cross of ashes is the same place where we are made promises in our baptism. I don't know if you need this reminder of grace and hope too. You see, when we are baptized, the pastor takes oil that has been blessed, and makes that sign of the cross on your forehead. And long after that oil has been wiped away or washed off, the cross remains, perhaps invisible, but always there, never ever gone. We can pretend it's not there, we can avoid its presence on us, but we are all marked with the cross of Christ forever. Just like we are God's beloved children through the waters of baptism. And there is nothing that we can do or not say to not make us God's beloved children. We are always and forever God's children, and we are always and forever marked with the cross of Christ. So yes, on Ash Wednesday, we receive a cross of ashes, and we are reminded of our mortality and our frailty, of our death. But we are also reminded of the promises that God makes to us in our baptism. Promises for life and promises in death. The promise is that we are always and forever God's beloved children. And the promise that there is no sin, no darkness, no grave, that God will not come to find us in and love us back to life. Before Jesus entered his 40-day journey in the wilderness, he came up from the waters and heard his name called, Beloved. That's the same name that each of you have received in your baptism. It can be an adjective, God's beloved children, meaning that you are greatly loved and deeply cherished, and that God has great, great affection for you. But when we are baptized, it's also a noun, a person, place, or thing. It becomes our name, capital B, beloved. And when God speaks it to you, it means that you are God's greatly, greatly loved child. You know, every Sunday when you come forward for communion, I invite you to dip your fingers in the water and make the sign of the cross on your forehead to remember your baptism, to remember not only who you are, but whose you are. And so I was thinking that today, on this first Sunday in Lent, maybe we all needed to be reminded of whose we are, and the fact that in us God is well pleased, or my own translation, God takes great delight in you. So I'm going to invite you forward. I want to anoint you with oil in the sign of the cross on your forehead, just like you received in baptism. I want to remind you of the name that God gives you in baptism, beloved. I want us to start our journey into Lent, having the same words proclaimed over us that were proclaimed over Christ before he went into his wilderness journey. You see, we are forgetful creatures, and it's easy to forget that we are so deeply beloved by God and that God delights in us. It's easy to forget all that God does in the waters of baptism. It's easy to forget those promises. So I invite you to come, to hear and receive the gifts and promises of God that you received in your baptism once more.